Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Praise God. Good morning. I'm so glad I finally got through this morning. What a morning this has been, but it is only a sign to me that God has got something so good for each and every one of you listening today, or whenever you are listening to this program. This is Apostle Diane Nutt, and this is Dove Ministries of Love, and I'm so glad that you have joined me today. And I was so blessed to finally be able to get on. I had some technical issues and couldn't get the switchboard to come up, but praise God, it's on now. And what a blessing to see that some of you were already online. Some of you had hung up in the process of me getting on, so hopefully the Lord will quicken those who have hung up in the process and they'll call back. But I'm so glad that you are listening today, and it's so good to be back. And goodness, this is the second time in this past month that I had to cancel my program, and that's a pretty rare thing. But one thing I'd like to say today is that God is so good. He's so merciful, and I'm so grateful. I mean, just grateful to God for His mercy, for His goodness. And all is well here in Texas, and I hope all is well with you. I did want to share just a couple of little things before I get into the Word of God today. And we had our prophetic healing gathering this past Sunday evening, and wow, God just showed up and moved so powerfully, and people's lives that were touched and healed, their hearts, their bodies were healed. And just the presence of God was so sweet, so powerful, and so strong. And so I always like to just give God the glory and honor and invite you, if you're in the area ever, on the first Sunday of each month, we have the prophetic healing gathering. And, of course, you are welcome to come any other time, because God still moves and miracles still happen. And so aren't you grateful today that God is still just working miracles in our midst? And, you know, there just seems to be more and more miracles that I see manifesting. And I think back to earlier this year when the Lord began to quicken me with the word about the pools that were being supernaturally, the healing pools like Bethesda that were being formed in just all over, not just here in America, but all over the world. And as I had a vision a few years ago, well, it was the year before last, and I saw the line of Judah, and he had a collar with the top part of a like a shirt on, and on just all over this collar and shirt, there were different flags, you know, different countries. And as he was walking across the nations, he would stop. And wherever he stopped, there were pools that were formed. And then people began to step in, and miracles began to manifest. And I just keep seeing, as I said earlier, more and more miracles that God is working and the healing power of God being manifested. And so I guess I'm kind of headed towards where the Holy Spirit is going to take us today. And I pray today for you that this word, that it will encourage you, that you will be blessed by it, but more than that, that you will walk in it. There's something about walking in the Word of God, walking in His power. And, you know, today when we look around and we see all of the things that are going on and the situations, you know, all the murders that are taking place, the pornography, and just children being abused and children getting into all of the issues that they get into, just our economy. When I obviously have been at home quite a bit, and I would turn on the TV periodically and just look at a few things, and it just seems like everything has a sexual, just something sexual about it. I just cannot believe the things that are coming out, these new programs on TV. And so when you look at where we are in the world, it is getting darker. And that's exactly what Isaiah prophesied and said, that gross darkness would cover the earth and even the peoples. And we just see that. But at the same time, the Word of God says that the glory of God is getting stronger and it's getting brighter, and that men would come from afar, that men would come from around, because they will be drawn to your light, to each and every one of us, to the light of His glory that is in our lives. Because when you live in a world of darkness, when you're around darkness, you know very well that when you see the light, you start walking towards the light. And so I believe there's the real awakening that has been taking place in the body of Christ, as we have cried out for this awakening, and, you know, in our soul and in our spirit. But one thing that I have learned and continue, you know, you have to walk in the Word daily, so that anointing that is on the Word of God, that is alive in you, which is Christ, it'll keep you free. It'll keep you walking in a place of freedom and liberty. And so one thing that I have noticed is that, you know, you can't be slack concerning the things of God. You have to continue every single day. And one thing that I'm seeing is that the more that I press in and to the Word of God and to walk in it, because His Word establishes authority in our life. And it's like the light of His glory, it becomes brighter, because I see more people being affected by my presence. And it's because of His presence that is in me, that is in my life. And so we have to really believe, first of all, that He is, and that He is who He says that He is, but that we are created in His image, in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have to believe that we are royal ambassadors, that we are not of this world, but we are of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is never ending, it's everlasting, and it is a very powerful kingdom, because in the kingdom in which you and I live as a born-again person, the victory has already been determined. It's already been settled who is defeated, and the enemy has been defeated. And we have to really trust the Lord and really, really believe. It's, you know, I've just found that here probably in the last several months that it's a very strong saying when you truly believe that you are who God says that you are. And not what your mind would want to tell you or what others would want to say, but what God says, what he says in his word. And again, believe, to believe, that word, that very simple word, believe, is a very powerful word. And I want to encourage you to study out what the word believe means. And look it up in your concordance and get your Webster's. Just go to any kind of resources that you have and study that word believe. Because a lot of times what has manifested in our life is not really in alignment with what we believe. And one thing I know is that, wow, this is such a glorious, amazing time in the body of Christ, in the apostolic dispensation in which we are living in. And that simply means the period of time that we are in right now, but the apostolic, and when you just break it all down, the apostolic represents the Father's love. And so, and that is something that the body of Christ has got to continue to walk in. Now, that word dispensation, there's in that place of dispensation, that is a place of distributing and giving out. It comes from dispense, but God blesses you and he anoints you and he gives you the authority and the power that is in his name and in and through his word, so that you can walk as Jesus did. Remember, he said, greater works shall you do. You know, that is just a very powerful thing. But again, you have to believe. You must believe. And if you have believed and you truly believe, then you will surely receive. And so to believe is to have faith. To believe means to take as the truth. And so a lot of times it's hard to, especially, I'll give this as an example, when you are sick in your body, it's hard to believe, okay, I am healed. But the truth is, you are healed. Your body is manifesting symptoms. And so you don't deny, you know, sometimes... Well, there have been times when, you know, people have made comments, well, you know, you're just in denial. And I've had to tell them, no, you come to a place to where you really, truly believe that those things that are not as though they were. And so you come into that place of alignment believing. But this is so strong in my spirit, and it has been. And that is that the body of Christ must rise up in that place of believing. And in Galatians, this will bless you. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Wow. That is so powerful. And so when I look at this scripture, God is encouraging you, and he's encouraging me, and he's letting us know that we have to stand fast. We have to be steadfast with our faith. We have to be steadfast with what we believe, and setting our faith like a flint, regardless of whatever seducing comes or persuasion or influence comes that is contrary to the truth that we are living in and the truth that we are walking in. Remember, it's the truth that is in you that keeps you free. And that is so important to see that. But he says to stand fast. Paul said, stand fast. And so he wants, he's encouraging us to stand firm, to be loyal, to stand loyal, unfading, and just being firm in what we believe and what you believe. And then the Word of God goes on to say, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And so someone might say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, again, you have to understand God wants to work miracles through your life. He said that signs and wonders, they do what? They follow those who believe. Signs and wonders follow those who believe. And so there's that word again, believing. We have to stand firm on his word. We have to be steadfast in our faith in what we believe. And faith is what moves the hand of God. And so here Paul is, he's saying, if you receive the circumcision, then Christ is not going to be any profit to you. Or if you distrust him, you can't gain nothing from him. And then he goes on and he says, but if you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you're brought to nothing and separated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace and God's gracious favor and unmerited blessing. Now let's look at, if you have your Bible, if you don't, that's fine. But then look at verse 6, and this is the key scripture right here. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now the Amplified says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. I love how the Amplified reads because it's just the Amplified to me always just kind of puts it in, you know, the 21st millennium as you're reading it. So faith is active. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. But it is activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. And, you know, this past week as I was sitting before the Lord and as I was just crying out to the Lord and he began to minister to me many things about the body of Christ and where we're at and also where we're headed to. Those who are obedient to the Word of God and those who are yielded to His Holy Spirit. And the Lord began to show me that there's many of you that have been disappointed. You know, there's been disappointment because there are things that you believe that you've had faith. You really, truly have believed that you've stood in that realm of faith, but you have not seen any type of manifestation of God's word. Well, the key is that faith, it only works by love. And so when you read, you know, further on down into chapter 5 of Galatians, when you read where Paul encourages, you know, he says, if you're biting and devouring one another, and, you know, if you have unforgiveness and there's bitterness there towards one another, and, you know, you've got all of those works of the flesh that are operating, faith can't operate in and through that. And so this is really a very sobering moment, a very sobering time in the body of Christ. And, of course, it always is really a sober moment, but there is certainly a quickening, and that is the quickening is that we have really got to let go of things and to lay things down, you know, just totally let go of things. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to do because we feel like we have a right to hold on to things. God wants to restore your marriage today. He wants to restore your family. He doesn't want you to be dysfunctional. We hear that word so much. And he wants to restore your relationship with your children. He wants to restore your relationship with your parents. And so God's heart, the Father's heart, Papa Daddy's heart, is for that restoration. And I've always believed this as a person, but as someone standing in the office of the prophet as well, an apostle, that we will see healing in this nation when the church gets healed and when the church really starts setting that standard of holiness and righteousness and godliness, and we really become that conduit and that vessel of God's love. And so, again, it's a very powerful thing. And we must see this, is that faith works by love. It's faith is, again, I love amplified, it's energized, it's activated, and it's expressed, and it works through love. And then you go on to verse 7, and it says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you, and a little leaven, it leaveneth the whole lump. And so the Amplified, again, I love the Amplified, it says, you were running the race nobly. Who has interfered in hindering and stopping you from heeding and following the truth? This evil persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to a freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers, leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. Oof. And you know, that scripture right there is just very powerful. But I want to go back up to verse 7, and where he says, you've been running the race nobly, but who has interfered? He didn't say what. He said who has interfered in hindering and stopping you from heeding to following the truth. And it doesn't matter what translation you read it in, that's the Amplified. it says the same thing in the King James, the authorized King James. It says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so the Lord's letting us see that we really have to take note of our relationships. And are the relationships that you are in, are they balcony people or are they basement people? Because there's a big difference between a balcony person and a basement person. A balcony person is going to be lifting you up. It's going to be encouraging you. It's not going to be jealous of you when you are blessed. They're going to support you. They're going to love you, and they're going to pick the phone up and not just always text you or email you. You know, the enemy wants to pervert communication. That's why a lot of marriages stink, and a lot of marriages are broken relationships because of the lack of communication. And if you don't communicate with the Father, you know, that just carries on into every area of your life. And so you have that freedom and that access to communicate with the Father because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Christ. But I'm going to go back to, but a basement, you know, basement people in your life, they always have a problem. It's like they really can't be there for you because you can share something with them that you're going through and just right on the heel of you sharing what you're going through and maybe the struggle that you're in, they start talking about what they're going through and what they're dealing with. And so there's no compassion there. It's, you know, everything's always about them. And so there's no lifting up. There's no encouragement. There's no, they're usually basement people or people who don't dream. They don't have visions. They don't have any vision for their life. They're just get up every morning and go through the emotions of the day. And, you know, and so I say these things, and as I'm sharing these things, I'm not condoning or condemning anyone, but you've got to have, you know, you've got to open your eyes up and see, because the Bible tells us very clearly right here, who's hindered you that you aren't prophesying anymore? Who has hindered you that you're not praying like what you used to pray? Or who's hindering you that you don't have the life that you used to have, just that invigorating life of just, you had so much hope and you did have vision and, you know, you were pretty much happy. You know, you were a happy person. Who has hindered you that you're not being bold? You're not walking up to people anymore. You're not even praising God like what you used to praise Him. See, I know this may seem a little hard for some people, but I don't mean for it to be, but it's time to open your eyes up, and God has given us instruction, and He's given us avenues, the resources. He's given us and equipped us with what we need to be who He has called us to be. And it's time for the church to start demonstrating the power of the Word of God. But again, that word, that faith that you so long for, that faith is activated, energized, it's expressed through love. And so if you're in relationships with people that are basement people, that are not lifting you up, that are not helping you, you can't share anything with them about what you're going through. In other words, you can't go to them for prayer or help because they're just waiting for you to be through with what you're saying so they can start talking about their problems. And they always have a problem going on. They always have an issue. And they've got hidden anger. They've got, you know, hidden bitterness. And so, again, the Word of God says, who hindered you if you aren't how you were? And so, you know, you love people and you forgive people, but some people you have to love from a distance. And so, because see what happens is, if you've been hindered by a relationship, then obviously that relationship hasn't been dealt with in whatever way that it has to be dealt with. So that hindrance has hindered you from doing what God has called you to do. And some of you, you know, God's quickened you sometimes when you've been out in public. You just felt this such this overwhelming presence of God and just this quickening to go up to someone to say something to him, but you didn't do it. You used to do it, but you're not doing it anymore. And, you know, you used to be in church, you used to really praise God and lift your hands up and praise the Lord. You used to not be afraid of any kind of emotion that you had, because you can't be spiritual without being emotional, and you can't be emotional sometimes without being spiritual. And so Paul's like, you know, you're entangled in the wrong thing. It's just like a spider web. You know, a spider web is sticky. And it's not sticky to, which is interesting, it's not sticky to just like grasshoppers or moths or whatever may fly into that spider web and get stuck. But even for a person, you know, when you touch a spider web, it'll still stick on you. You know, you'll sling your hand and you'll get your other hand and you'll try to wipe it off, but then it's stuck to your other hand. And so Paul's saying, where did you get entangled? Remember, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that Christ has made you free. Don't let somebody pull you and seduce you and entice you and draw you and persuade you or manipulate you or control you to come out of that place of freedom that you have in Christ, that he's already made you free. He said, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then he goes on down, remember, and he says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. He says, for if we're in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, because we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And so he says, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Because you were running along so well. Who hindered you? He didn't say what event. What event took place that hindered you, that you did not obey the truth? What circumstance happened? He said, who did hinder you? And, you know, that just being quickened to a scripture that everybody knows. Well, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people know. And that is that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the church has been taught for years and years and years and years and years and years that the thief is the devil. And I'm here to tell you today that the thief is not the devil. The thief has already been exposed. Satan has already been exposed. And he is already defeated. You see? But God is exposing people's hearts right now. We've talked about for years the separation of the wheat and the tares. And the tares can look so much like the wheat. If, you know, we live out in the country, and we, you know, we have across from us is the green belt, and they harvest wheat and maize every single year, twice a year. So we watch this whole process every year. They burn the field and they plow the ground up and then they plant the seed. But I'm telling you, wheat and tares, you have to really get down and look at them to see the difference. And, you know, there are some people that come in to the churches and they've got it all. I mean, everything looks okay. Everything looks right. But it always comes down to the heart. God said to render your heart, not your garments. And so we have to, again, I don't want you to get the wrong ideal here. This is not to condemn or to condone anyone. This is to teach you that sometimes you get stuck in relationships, in a relationship with someone who, if you're not careful, because the enemy has sent them and the enemy is using them to keep you off of the track, off of the pathway that God has called you on. You see? And so, I want to go back to, because this is such just a huge deal. It's, you know, when you read John chapter 10, you're going to see how, when you study that out, that's why the Word of God says to study to show yourself approved. When you start reading the Word of God and studying it and really getting into it, then you find out what it means. And so the Word of God has talked about a thief. When this in the natural realm, well, when a thief breaks into a home, that's not the devil, that's a person. A person, obviously, oppressed by the devil. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. And when you read on down in John 10, the Word of God, it starts talking about, coming in the wrong way, coming in the back way, coming, you know, people try to get, a lot of times, they try to get something for nothing. Anything that is worth having in your life, and Christ is certainly worth everything in your life, even relationships, because he is the one who gives you life. He is the one in whom you live and move and have your being. He is the one who died for you so that you can walk in his power. He freely gives you his power to walk in. But what are you doing? What is the body of Christ doing? Why isn't the Word of God being demonstrated today? We're not seeing it in everywhere, and we should be seeing the power of God demonstrated every single day. And so now I realize some of you are on your lunch hour and lunch break, and I always share this every week with you. So this is a good moment for me to break, and I'm going to go ahead and take a caller at this moment. And let's see, we're going to go through here. You're on the air, area code 805.
Yes.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Jeff calling from California.
Jeff?
Yes.
Hi, Jeff. Is this Jeff Bradley?
There?
Hello,
yes, yes.
There. I am blessed. How are you? Praise God. So good.
I'm doing
heard.
Okay.
So what is on your heart today, Jeff?
Well, I'm gonna just share with you, and you and I have been friends over the years, and you're talking about relationships, and I feel like my wife has been gone for a year, living with her father and her stepmother in Hawaii. Basically abandon our family, and I've been getting counsel from a guy who believes that it's going to be only reconciliation. That's all he talks about. But the Holy Spirit has been talking to me in a way and said, you know, that this has to come to a conclusion. If someone doesn't want to repent, if someone doesn't want to change their life and especially be back with their children, then I have to make a decision to move forward with God, and I know that during this time of affliction, this time of despair and a very hard year, that God visited me. I mean, he literally, the Holy Spirit descended upon me for a matter of weeks where literally I'd wake up, I'd feel the presence of God, and I would I'd feel his presence, and I would have joy, and God would use me to minister to people. And a gentleman by the name of Gershom Sakala had prayed for me. He said, "You're an evangelist, Jeff," and I'm thinking, well, he must be wrong because I was ordained as a minister, as a pastor, and forgetting about the fivefold ministry that you can function more than one. And my hands would start heating up, and I would have encounters with people. I'd be having coffee, the presence of God would just show up. But literally for weeks this happened. And I don't think it would have happened had I not been in this period in my life and in my family's life, where we're, you know, where all this stuff is going on. But God showed himself true. And I'm having to make a decision, and I think there is that thing out there with a lot of churches or pastors that believe that once you get a divorce, you can't marry again, so they counsel against getting the divorce.
Right.
But if someone abandons a family and it does not repent, and my friend who's with Calvary Church, he says, you know, this is, you have a legal right to get a divorce, but you have to do what God tells you. I just wanted to know your view on that.
Well, I believe the Word of God, of course, obviously does talk about divorce and separation, but there is a place in the Word of God, and I haven't been asked this question in a while, and but I will say that in the Word of God, that there are grounds for divorce. Now, don't everybody be writing me or emailing me and everything, because I'm telling you what the Word of God says. But yeah, the Word of God does talk about the disharmony in a marriage. There should be harmony in a marriage, although there are those times when you have those disputes. And this is one thing that I want to share right here, and this is for everybody, Jeff, for you as well, but for everybody. And, you know, we've been taught that it's okay to agree with disagreeing with each other. And I'm like, really? Where is that scriptural? I'm sorry, that is not scriptural. The Word of God says, how can two walk together lest they agree? And the Word of God says nowhere that you can disagree or that you can agree with each other to disagree with each other.
Right.
That's oxymoron. That's not even. So if there's not a agreement there, and you're not, you know, and you're not walking together, it's like in that place of unity. And when you know personally, you know, and you and I can talk later, Jeff, but when you know that you have done everything scripturally that you know that you can do, and you've stood in that place of faith that is working by love. You know, a lot of people stand for their marriages, but they're not standing in faith that's working by love. It's energized and activated by that love, what I've been sharing out of the Word of God. And so for every person, of course, it, you know, it is different because we're all at different places in our journey with the Lord. And so the wisdom from the Word of God is that you cannot have a marriage that is in harmony and peace when there is no agreement there. It's an unequal yoke. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it's an unequal yoke. And so Paul said, don't be yoked with someone that, you know, when that unequal yoke is there. And so, you know, my advice is to, you know, to obviously to follow the peace of God in your heart and to, when you're in alignment with the Word of God, and when you have that peace, and like I said, you've done everything that you know to do and you've stood, and you know, you can't waste your whole life standing. I mean, somebody probably's not going to like hearing me say that. And so be careful, y'all, don't judge me, but judge your own heart. But if you know, you can't, Well, you can. You can waste your whole life standing and agreeing, but sometimes, you know, you just get to this certain point to where you know in your heart that it's over. And it's over. And what people have to understand, Jeff, and is that we're living under grace. We're not living under the law.
Right.
And so we have a lot of law officers out there in the body of Christ that need to repent and give their hearts to the Lord and give their hearts to the Lord again and really get saved. Get the whole package deal, the whole salvation deal. and so, you know, it's going to take, and this is just so in alignment with, you know, what the Lord's had me sharing today. And, you know, because we do want to see those miracles. And, you know, I think about Patty and Gavin McLeod. You know, they used to do the love quote.
Yes.
And how, you know, they were divorced for over 20 years, and then one day God brought them back together. They crossed each other's pathway. Miracles happen, and only God knows the outcome, but his plans are good. And so I hope this helps you some, and it helps others that are listening as well, because I started off the program today. I don't know if you've heard it from the beginning, but, you know, God is restoring marriages and families and restoring people's hearts, and it's just such a time of reconciliation to God. But that's what people have to understand. When God talks about the ministry of reconciliation, it's not with each other. It's with God. That ministry of reconciliation is for that person to be reconciled back to God. But then man has come along and said, you know, well, then, you know, so then you can be reconciled back to your spouse or be reconciled with your children. And that's just simply not scriptural right there. And so I tell people, you don't want to argue. I will not argue the word of God. I've been saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire for over 50 years, over 52 years. And I'm older than that too. And I know the Word of God, and I know the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, that is just not scriptural. The reconciliation is all about God. People need to be reconciled back to God. You know, your wife she needs to be reconciled back to God. And so, you know, that's the key. That's the key thing there is the reconciliation to God. And so hopefully this has benefited you, but can I just pray for you?
What's that?
Can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Pray. Okay. Okay. Father God, we just come to you right now through the precious blood of the Lamb. And Father God, we thank you that we have that access, that legal access to be right there in your throne room and before you, coming with these requests and these supplications. And Father God, I just lift Jeff up to you and his wife, Lord God. And Father God, I pray that your perfect will be done. And Father God, I ask you that you give Jeff the peace that passes all understanding, that passes all the words that any person has spoken. But Father God, that he has that peace from you for that direction, Lord God, that you are taking him at this time in his journey. And Father God, I thank you that you are faithful when you have one that is yielded to you to walk the pathway that you have ordered, that you have ordained. Lord God, I thank you that your perfect will, it will be manifested, and it'll be good for Jeff. It'll give him hope, and it'll give him a future and an expected end according to your word, and for his children, for their boys as well. And Father God, I just thank you that you've been working in the midst of this. And Lord God, I thank you that this is a season and a time when there are things that are coming to a close. There's closure that's coming. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, again, that your perfect will be manifested and for your glory alone. Father, I thank you for the peace in Jeff's mind as well as in his heart, Lord God, to... The the direction, Lord God, that you have chosen for him, Lord God, and for his children, for his family at this time. And Lord God, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Jeff, thank you for calling in and for listening today. And again, we'll talk. We'll talk real soon. It's so good to hear from you. It's been a long
time. Oh, thank you.
long
time. Been a long time. Yeah, thank you so much. The teaching was real. Okay. Thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate the wisdom. Really
thank you. Thank you so much. Praise God. We'll talk soon.
All right. God bless you.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Praise God. God is faithful. And, you know, thank God that, you know, we can't judge anybody. We can't judge people because we don't know what people have been through, what they're going through. But I know right now in the body of Christ, as the Lord spoke to me prophetically last week and walking, you know, where I walk, the Lord gave me direction, new direction for my life personally. And because he did that, I know that he is giving you new direction as well. Because, again, some of us have been hindered. There's been a hindrance because of relationship. And God, you know, he says there in his word, and it's what we were talking, he says that who's got, you were walking the right way, but now, you know, you've gotten entangled. You're not steadfast like what you used to be, and your face isn't set like a flint like what it used to be. And, you know, you've kind of lost your touch. You've lost that place that you've had, but not forever. And all he is saying is to get up and to turn around. And as I was saying in John 10:10, you know, the thief comes. It's not the devil. The devil is defeated. He is destroyed. He's been destroyed. He's defeated. But people come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And, you know, I remember I'm being quickened right now to a time when the enemy had sent someone, a woman, into my ministry. This was back years ago in the late 80s. And a prophet had called me from Canada and said, Diane, I've been praying for you. And the Lord said to tell you that the enemy has sent a woman into your ministry to try to destroy your ministry. And I, you know, as I was listening to the Holy Spirit and being quickened by the Holy Spirit and the words, that the emphasis was on, it was that the enemy sent a woman to try to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy, to try to destroy your ministry. And so right then and there, I knew that, you know, I needed to really sharpen myself. I needed to be, you know, sober. And I needed to be aware and not sleep any, so to speak, as spiritually. But I needed to watch and pray. And sure enough, I'm telling you, it was a battle, and I'm not going to go into it. But, you know, I had to step out and do what the Lord told me to do, because this woman was living like the devil on the weekend, going out drinking and carousing and got put in jail. And you know, and I've been there myself, but when you know the truth, you can't keep using forgiveness to continue in your sin. And that's how I almost ended up actually dying, is I was in the process of trying to commit suicide and didn't even realize that, because I was living in a place of sin. And I kept on asking God to forgive me, but I kept on doing what I knew was wrong. And you can't keep using God's forgiveness. And so that's not just with yourself in a way like which I was in bondage to, but even in relationships. sometimes it's hard to break away from relationship because maybe that person is supplying something into your life. They're, you know, they're giving you something, or they're pouring into your life financially, or maybe they come and, you know, they clean your house, or they help you do this and that, and or they help you in the ministry with everything, you know, that you're doing, and you're thinking, well, you know, if I don't have them around, but you're continually fighting this battle with them. It's just, you can't get up because you're always down because of the battle that is there. And so, you know, the enemy tries, or excuse me, the enemy will send someone, a person, to try to destroy your ministry, to try to destroy your relationship, to try to destroy your marriage, to try to destroy the peace and the unity that's in your family. And so, again, I go back to what Paul said in Galatians in chapter 5. He says, you were running the race nobly, but who's interfered and hindered and stopped you, your heeding and your following the truth? And so we have to recognize, and, you know, and because that scripture in John chapter 10, because it's been taught incorrectly, it has kept people in bondage in relationships. The Selah moment. And so we have to understand that if you don't, okay, you can't conquer what you don't confront. But if you're not willing to identify what's going on in your life, then you will not even try to confront it. You can ignore the truth. You can ignore what is really real. And, you know, years ago, I got into a relationship with someone at the church that we were in. We were both really active in the ministry, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, back then, because people were just learning about me, I had just gotten into the charismatic church. And even though I had been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you know, since I was 5 years old, but grew up in Southern Baptist denominational home, I didn't have the understanding with my mind totally about all of that. And so later on in my life, when I got into the charismatic church, I just, you know, I just didn't have the understanding. And so in this relationship, this person was trying to, quote unquote, possess me, almost like I was their prize or something, because they were my friend, I thought. And but then things started happening, and it was, you know, it was not a good relationship. And because I backed away from it, you know, a lot of other things happened from that. But you know what? It was all right in the sense that God was with me, and he was protecting me and helping me to sever and to get away from this relationship that was not good. And so, you know, when you're walking in the power of forgiveness and you're walking in the love of God, it's, you know, people, just because there are things that you have to separate yourself from people, you have to separate yourself from them because there's no benefits of God that are coming to you. And you're always, again, you're always having to lift them up. You're always having to pray for them. They're always in something. There's always something going on in their life. And you know, a lot of times you go through seasons like that. But when someone is not pouring anything back into your life, that's not a relationship. And so you're being used, and whether that person is ignorant or not, you know, it's every relationship is different, but you have to learn to separate yourself. And just like Paul said in Corinthians, he said, don't be unequally yoked. That was something I was sharing with our caller, Jeff, a little bit earlier. You can't be unequally yoked with someone. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, to come out from amongst the unclean. Well, you know, anything that is unclean that someone is walking in their life, what is unclean to you is what you've been cleaned from. So if God's cleaned you up and you've been set free, you know, in an area in your life, but you choose to be around someone who, and you know, who is struggling and going through something, you know, in their life, it's an unclean area in their life. If you're not careful, you can find yourself getting entangled in that again. And so you have to be careful that you're, you know, when you are in relationship with someone and they're caught up in the bondage that you were once caught up in, that you are strong enough to be able to be of help to them and to help them to come up out of that place that they're in and walking in humility, not judging them, knowing that you could fall right back into it. But the thing about separating yourself from people, as I've been sharing right now, is that you have to, you know, you have to see that they do need that deliverance, they do need that healing, and you still love them. It's just that your thoughts towards a person, when the Lord tells to separate from someone, to come out from amongst the unclean, if you haven't been, if you have truly forgiven in that relationship and been healed in your heart, then what's going to happen is that your attitude is going to be not right towards that person. And that's called iniquity. And then what happens when you walk in iniquity, you start walking in spiritual deception. And that's what iniquity is. It's a spiritual deception. And so God wants you to be mature enough, because you are walking in love, in the love of God. He wants you to be walking in this place of maturity in his love, that you can separate yourself in a relationship with someone, but your heart is right towards them. See, that's another key right there. It's, you know, and sometimes people get hurt. They get hurt, and if you're walking in the love of God and separating yourself, then the hurt is not coming from something in your heart or your spirit. You know, the human spirit can be very hurtful. But if you've chosen to forgive that person and to walk in the love of God towards them, then, you know, you're free from that. You know, your heart is, again, your heart is right and your heart is pure towards them. You just know that it's time for you to move on. And so you have to recognize, though, and you have to be willing to identify with where you're at and see, okay, I can't blame this person that I'm not praising God like I, you know, I can't blame my husband that I'm not praising God like what I used to praise him. Do you see what I'm saying? Or because my children are this, or because so-and-so that I've been in a relationship with so long, and, you know, I'm just not prophesying anymore, and I'm not, you know, I'm not doing the things that I used to do because, you know, they don't do those things. Well, see, that's not right. You're, Paul, that's why he says, who has hindered you? And so today, I want you to not be hard on yourself. Maybe the Lord has really been dealing with your heart throughout the program today, and you know that there are those that you must separate from and that you have to come out from amongst. And, you know, you just have to really to cut off that relationship and, you know, let God deal with the soul ties in that relationship, because, again, there's not any person, any relationship that is worth your relationship with Christ Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today to identify with relationships that you have today. You don't want to start out a new year and go into the year of 2013 in the bondage maybe that you are in today because of a relationship that you are in. You know, you don't want to go through another year. And the hard thing is that, you know, when you don't identify and then confront, then you can't conquer those things in your heart, in your life, so that you can move on. And I'm telling you, being in wrong relationships can even hinder you from stepping and walking in your dreams that you've had, words that God has given to you that you know, it's like, God, I was born to do this. You know, I know you created me to have this ministry. You created me to write these books or to make this music, to do these CDs. And, you know, but you're just stuck in this place of complacency. And every once in a while, you'll get a little bit stirred up and you want to do something about it. But the first thing you have to do is to follow the instruction of the Lord. And his instruction is in his word. Follow his word and separate yourself. And, you know, in Corinthians, the word of God goes on down in 2 Corinthians and telling us in chapter 6 to come out from amongst them. And then he goes on to say, well, I'm just going to turn to it. I mean, I can quote it, but I'll tell you exactly where it is. Let's see, it's in verse 17, and he's saying to come out. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then he said, I will receive you. And then he said, and then I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then you go on to chapter 7, and he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I love that. And let me read it to you in the Amplified. Let me get to it right quick. Now I'll take a few more callers because we've got about 13 minutes left on the program today. But let me get over here to this. Here we go. In verse 17 in the Amplified in chapter 6, it says, so come out from among unbelievers and sever yourself from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing, and then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then, and to think about unbelievers, it doesn't say with those who are not saved. So you can be in quote unquote, the body of Christ, but you can be a born again Christian and be an unbeliever. Oh, yes, yes, you can, because you can fall away from the truth. And so you just have to be, you know, really, really careful. An unbeliever. You know, the Bible, okay, hold on, I can hear some of your thoughts. Okay, Timothy, I'm not sure which chapter it is, but I believe in 2 Timothy, the Word of God talks about that there is, in the last days, that there would be people who have a form of godliness. They're believers, or they've been born again, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. And that is people who deny, what is the power of God? The power of God is his love. the Holy Spirit manifesting the love of God, the glory of God. And so you know when a person has that you're in relationship with, you know when they've denied the power because they're not changing. A person who is the same from year to year to year, but yet they say they're saved, they love Christ, they go to church, they give their tithes, they even give offerings, and, you know, they go to everything, but they never change. You know what? That's a person that is denying the power of God. And you know what? After that, okay, it says in the last days there will be a people who have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power of God. There's a semicolon. And then it says, from these as such, turn away. Ooh, turn away. That means walk away from people who are not changing. Because you'll find yourself getting into bondage. If you are changing, then you are receiving the power of God. The power of God, the love of God that can change you. The love of God covers a multitude of sin, but the love of God does not excuse sin. Sin is never okay. God hates sin, period. Sin is sin. There's no good sin, bad sin, little sin, big sin. Sin is sin, and God hates sin, you see? And then in chapter 7, and I'm going to take, there's a couple of callers, and I'm going to take your call in just a few minutes here. And then in chapter 7 in the Amplified, verse 1, it says, therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. And so, in other words, you know, he's saying to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh so that it can perfect holiness. That's how you get holiness. That's how holiness is manifested in your life. Holiness in the fear of God. Don't give up on the church, everybody. There is a fear of God that is coming back into the church again. It's the word of God. Amen. Okay, let me take a caller here. Let's see, area code 919. You're online right now. Who am I speaking with?
This is Shaquilla. How are you, Apostle?
Hi, Shaquilla, sweetheart. How are you? I'm great. How are you?
I'm so blessed. I'm blessed. Praise I can't God. Complain at all.
That's good. That's yes, a good thing. That's just flowing off onto the out into the airwaves.
Praise
That's
God.
Awesome. What can I pray for you about today, or what did you have something you wanted to share right quick? Or
I wanted to say, like, the things that you touched on, the Holy Ghost had to just speak about today was such a blessing and whatnot. And I just wanted you to pray, lift me up in prayer concerning anything that's hindering my walk with God. I just, you know, want to pray about that. And also for a church home that God leads and guides me to where he wants me to be.
Okay, Shaquilla. Okay, and thank you for your beautiful, kind words. And, of course, I do give God the glory and honor for that. You're such a sweetheart. Father God, I just lift Shaquilla up to you right now, Lord God. And, Father, thank you for just blessing your daughter, Lord God, for just leading her by your precious Holy Spirit. And, Father God, her heart's desire, Lord God, is to just know if there's any kind of hindrance in her life today, Lord God, if there's anyone that has hindered her in a relationship, Lord God, that has had any kind of influence in holding her back. And Father God, I thank you simply just because she has said this publicly, Lord God, on air, Father God, that her heart is open to hear and to receive from you. And so, Father, I pray, Lord God, that even as I'm praying, Lord God, that you would bring to her thoughts, Lord God, a name, Lord God, the face of someone. Father God, if indeed there is someone, Lord God, and someone that she maybe has been blinded to in being able to see, Lord God. And so, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, Father God, in just showing Shaquilla, Lord, so that she can keep pressing towards the mark, Lord God, to the prize of the high calling, which is Jesus Christ in her life. And now, Father God, I just pray for that place of fellowship, Lord God, that you have ordained for Shaquilla to be at, because, Father, you told us in your word to not forsake the assembling of ourselves with one another and to exhort one another, encourage one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and so forth. And so, Father, I just ask you, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to lead your daughter, Lord God, to the exact place of fellowship where she is supposed to be. Father, that place to where she will be received, that she, her life will be celebrated, Lord God, where she will be encouraged and exhorted and lifted up. And at the same time, Father, just make room for the gift of God that you have placed so deep within her, Lord God, to be able to share. Lord God, you said that every joint supplies one to another. So, Father God, I ask you to take her to that place that you've ordained where she's not going to be just supplying, but where the supply is going to be coming to her as well. And so, Father, thank you that we can pray in agreement and ask according to your word, to your will. And, Father God, we can have faith in knowing that it shall be given to us. So, Father God, I thank you that it will be given and that it is given unto Shaquilla. And, Lord God, she'll know, Lord God, both things that we have addressed today in this place of prayer, of the prayer of agreement. And, Father God, I just give you all the glory and honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Shaquilla. I love you, sweetheart. I'm going to go on to the next call right quick, and I look forward to hearing the praise reports from you.
Okay. Thank you. I love you, too. God bless you.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Praise God. Okay. Here's our next caller from area code 908. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Elaine.
I'm sorry?
Calling. Elaine?
What was your name?
Elaine. I have a bad connection
here.
Yeah.
Hi, Elaine. Now I can hear you great. And where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
From New Jersey. I think I've spoken with you before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And every week your messages are like God's pointing them towards me. You know, it's like it's a message just for me. But he had recently told me I need to disconnect from some people who their heart isn't right, and it's like I don't know who he's referring to, and I'm like I've narrowed down so many different people in my life. You know how you go through and you pare it down, and it's like, okay, this person shouldn't be in my life, but I really don't know who it is, and so I'm praying that you might pray with me that God would reveal who it is that I just want what he wants.
Okay, Elaine, I would be glad to pray. And we've got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes on the program, and we'll still be on praying. But I just do, Elaine, before I pray for you, I want to just bless everyone and just know that I'm praying for you, and I look forward to being with you again next week on December the 12th, and so the same time. And I just love each and every one of you. Go to my website, www.dove-ministries.com. And now I'm going to pray for Elaine. But, you know, Elaine, sometimes I will share this with you, and that is sometimes it's not obvious, because I kind of touched on this a little bit in the program earlier. Sometimes it can be someone in your life who, you know, they're, I mean, you've had this relationship, you don't really see anything because they're just, I mean, to your knowledge, to your ability, everything's been good. But the thing is, because the Lord has spoken to your heart, and He knows, you know, He knows exactly what is going to come up in the future, you know, what is going to happen. And that's the key, is that, you know, he knows. And so there may be something in this relationship with someone right now that maybe they're fixing to go through something, a crisis in their life, and, you know, it's just not going to be good for you. I mean, you know, you'll still love them at a distance and pray for them. But that's one thing is, you know, a lot of times that we have to take into consideration when He speaks something to us like this, but yet we don't see and we don't know. And so it's obviously for your protection and, you know, to keep you. And so I'll just be in agreement right now. So, Father God, I just come to you, and we just come together in faith today. Lord God, Elaine and I and all of those who are listening right now, Father God, is they are in agreement as well. And Lord God, thank you that you've given Elaine eyes to see and ears to hear and her heart to perceive. And Lord God, you have spoken and you have laid this upon her heart and conveyed it to her heart, Lord God. And Father, her heart is open and it's willing to know who. And she's gone through everything that she knows, and but, you know, doesn't have an answer. So, Father God, I just thank you right now that even as I'm praying and speaking, that you will just reveal who that person is. Father, that you will just bring that person's name to her remembrance and to her thoughts, Father God, or even show their face to her, Lord God. And, Father, thank you that you do give that peace, as was prayed earlier, that passes all understanding. But, Father, thank you that that peace, that it will lead Elaine and that peace will guide her. And Father, just help her to just totally to trust you in this, and because it may be, it wouldn't seem to the mind that, well, why this person? But, Lord God, thank you that just your peace will just flood Elaine's heart, Lord God, and she'll know because she has positioned herself, Lord God, to hear from you. And so, Father, I thank you that your glory will be revealed in and through Elaine's life, but even in this period of time right now, Lord God. And so, Father, thank you for just ministering to Elaine and speaking to her, Father God. And, Lord God, thank you that her eyes are on you, her focus is on you, and she's not looking to the right or left, but, Father God, she's looking to you and you totally. And so, Father, I just give you the glory and honor for that, Lord God. And Lord, thank you that it is settled, and that it is finished, and that it is it's done. And so, Father, I just thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. Thank you
Praise
so much.
God. Did you get someone's name? I mean, you don't have to say, of course, the name. Did someone's name come or say? Yes?
No. No,
oh, no?
Not yet. No.
Not
but,
yet?
But I'm not yet.
Okay,
yeah, it will.
And I know, like I said, I've been there. I so feel your heart, and I really do, because there have been times like that, and it's like, well, Lord, you know, that person's just the sweetest person, and da 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 da. But you know, he, well, I believe you'll know before this day's over with, and that's being very bold.
Okay.
But that's just what's in my spirit,
yeah.
Elaine. And so, well, praise mm-hmm. God. I love you, and thank you for calling in and call me with
thank
the praise
you,
report.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you again. God bless. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, praise God. Well, that is the program today. Again, just know that you are loved. You are precious. Your life is valuable in the kingdom of God. And I thank you for tuning in today. I've so enjoyed today. And I just pray that you have enjoyed the word and it is ministered to you, and that your heart will just be just open, you know, just allow your heart to be open to really to hear from the Lord. And I know you're going to be so just so amazed at things that will take place and the acceleration of things and just the peace of mind that you'll have in separating to yourself or even severing soul ties and relationships that need to be. So praise the Lord. Walk in his joy, his peace, his love, and I'll be back with you again next Wednesday, same time, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard, and then 9 o'clock out on the West Coast. And just know that you are loved, and have a great, great, great week. And I'll be back with you next week. Okay, bye-bye.